Keep your head down. It's the news, according to me. Well, I am at home today. I'm at home. In my home. Not the home studio. I'm at home. In the home studio, not the home base studio of the TNA to me. The news, according to me, main headquarters. Not to be confusing, but I am confusing because I'm confused. I'm a confused old man. I'm a confused old man with a podcast, and I don't know what I'm doing. Yeah, there's some good stuff in the news this morning. There's interesting stuff, and we're not going to talk about any of that interesting stuff. We're going to talk about some other stuff, but there is interesting stuff in the news. If you want to, you know, shut this podcast off and go listen to some, that would be great. Most importantly, the news that we need to talk about this morning is what is in my cup. And the thing that's in my cup this morning is sweet tea. Just regular old Lipton black sweet tea. I should say tea that's been sweetened. Hot tea. This is hot tea this morning. Not sweet. You say sweet tea, most people think iced tea. This is not iced tea. This is hot tea. And it's got about as much sugar as there is tea in there, probably. And then there's honey. I had to put honey in there because, you know, because it's honey. It's got to go in there. And I did put a little splash of coconut oil. The liquefied coconut oil. To make my pipes nice, smooth, and creamy this morning for you. The voice, you know, it's a voice. It's all about that voice. Gotta keep it lubed up. Keep those vocal cords vibrating properly. You probably hear my chair squeaking because I left my phone in my pocket. This chair is squeaking more than normal. I think it's time to do some oiling in here. I can't have a sound studio, recording studio with a noisy chair. It's not good. Making all kinds of racket. There's a few things happening this morning. And of course, if you didn't catch my show the other day, we're rapidly approaching 200 episodes now. Kind of boggles my mind in a way. It boggles it. Like as if it's boggled. The other thing that boggles my mind is my home internet speed. It's extremely slow. So if there's anybody out there that has, can hook me up with some fast internet, they can be my sponsor. They can get me internet with like a 20,000 giggly googly gites per second. And I can broadcast live to every computer directly in the world. That'd be great. I will actually sponsor you. Right, I will actually allow you to be my sponsor if you do that for me. I will actually mention your name once or twice a year. So we have this stuff going on all around us. All around us, there's stuff going on, and we're unaware of it. Much like Joe Biden. You know, sometimes I wonder if Joe isn't really actually more representative of the company or the country than what we realize. He's an old, tired man, can hardly read a speech off a teleprompter, doesn't really know what's going on. He's not in charge. He's just kind of bouncing around, letting life take him through this presidency, if that's what you want to call it. He is not in charge. Okay, let's just, I know I've said that before, but Joe Biden is not in charge of what's going on at the White House. He doesn't wake up every morning and say, here, okay, I'm awake now, everybody. Gather around. This is my agenda for the day. And he's not telling people. It's not going that way. Okay, it's not going in that direction in the morning. He's taking instructions from all the people around him. Okay, this is your agenda now today, Joe. Wipe your chin off. Okay, there you go. You're drooling a little bit there. Okay, now we're gonna give you your medication. So that you can be coherent. Now, when you walk, make sure you walk Don't swing your arms too much and make sure you get those feet out in front of you so you don't trip. Get to lift your knees. Lift your knees when you walk a little bit more. That way you don't shuffle. Because shuffling is a sign of something else and we don't want anybody realizing that. When you go up the steps, you need to concentrate and focus. Go up those steps and don't trip. Salute the Marines. So, salute the Marine. There's been more, he's been making some more speeches now because it's, graduation time for a lot of people. So they're going through graduations in a lot of places. And he's making all these speeches and he's trying to deliver. He's trying to, Joe's never made a speech that's his own. That's like his own, I don't know if he's ever written his own speeches or not. He's always plagiarized everybody else. And many times he's been caught doing that. Many times he's not. I'm sure it's not the first time he's ever plagiarized a speech. Was the only time he got caught. So that's the way that stuff works. These people. Oh, look! I did something wrong. Oh, that'll never happen again. Oh, I apologize. Much like Governor Whitmer from Michigan. Oh, I was out with friends. We were pushing tables together. Didn't really think about it. We were all vaccinated. Oh, is that the first time that's ever happened, Gov? Is that the first time you've ever done that? Yeah, you looked real concerned about it when you were there. You were smiling and laughing with all your friends there. Yeah, you look real concerned about that. Because I'm sure that's the first time that's ever happened. Oh, I'm sorry. That's the first time you've ever been caught doing it. Oh, other than the time you went to Florida, and the time your husband went to Northern Michigan, and the time it goes on and on and on. So Joe's not waking up large and in charge every day. We know that. Okay, we've established that. Joe's, that's just not who Joe is. But, at least not Orange Man Bad. At least not mean tweets every day. Now, I've got to say, I've heard some interviews recently with Donald Trump. And I remember why people didn't like him. It's the guy, and it's not that I don't like the guy. I don't like the way he communicates. And I think that has been part of the issue here all along. And I'm not saying there has to be. I'm not saying it necessarily it's a presidential qualification. But there's not an ounce of humility in this man, in my opinion. He always brings it back to himself. No matter what the subject is about. He was asked recently about Ron DeSantis. Would you make Ron DeSantis your running mate? Now, of course, I have to agree with Matt Walsh on this. I listened to Matt Walsh a few times this last couple days. And I have to agree with him on this. This would be a disaster. It would probably not be the best option for Ron DeSantis. For one, we need good governors in this country. He has been an outstanding governor, and he would make an outstanding president, in my opinion. However, I think it would ruin him, and I think it would be a very difficult thing for a DeSantis-Trump ticket. Trump has a tendency to maybe they would knit together and be two peas in a pod. I don't know. I don't think so. I think at some point there would be a lot of clashes between the two of them. I think that could spill over into some of the issues within the administration. I don't know. And I think it would marginalize DeSantis. I just totally agree with everything that Walsh said on this. If you want to listen to my opinion on it, you can listen to Matt Walsh if you want to talk to him. But I totally agree. The vice presidency is one step away from being the president. Now that is true. However, in the meantime, you are kind of set on a shelf. And there's a very, I don't think it's a marginalized position. Now, having said that, the reason I'm talking about that is because I just have random thoughts running through my head, and that's why I talk about it. That's actually why I'm talking about it. But I do have, there's so much to cover in today's show, and I realized I didn't have a show at all yesterday because I slacked off. Last night, things were, you know, I got home yesterday, thought about doing a show in the afternoon. I had some other things to do, and it's kind of monkeying around getting some things done. I had to run over to UPS to ship some things out. I had to do some this and that. I had to get the grass, you know, the string trimmer out and do some trimming just because there's a couple weeds that were bothering me. So I had to do that. And by the time the evening got around, I was going to do a late show, and then didn't get to do that. So just had other more important things going on. So not that this show isn't important. Just I know it's hard to believe there's something more important than this show, especially for what you guys are paying on the subscription fees. It's ridiculous what I charge for you guys to listen to this kind of content. But that's how I afford to put sugar in my tea. You work all day down by the railway, just to put sugar in your tea. There's a song about that. I won't get into it. I'm not going to sing it because they actually call it Tay. You work all day down around the river. Whatever. Anyway, I said I wasn't going to sing it. Then I started singing it. That's the way I roll, folks. I don't know if you've figured that out or not. We're going to talk about the current vice president. She's been in the news big time now lately, in the last last few days. And I haven't really gone there. I've just been kind of sitting and observing what's been going on with her down there in South America and everything she's talking about. And it's funny how people are hearing what she's saying down there and how they're taking it, because they know better. I've got a lot of thoughts on this whole thing, and I'm not sure I've got them all like tied up in a bow and ready to present to you. I haven't written down speech or notes or an outline here on a presentation on how I'm going to do this, but I do have some things to say about her. And some of them are very troubling to me at least. Maybe it doesn't bother you at all. This woman is one heartbeat away from being the president, as far as we know. And let me tell you something, just right off the top, let me just say this. This person, who is the VP currently, is way over her skis. She is totally out of her league here. This job, she is unqualified, if I've ever seen anybody unqualified for this position. She is inept and incompetent. And I believe, personally, I think she's terrified of this, of being the vice president and the potential of being the president. And here's why I say that. When she speaks, it's not just her voice and the tone of her. If I just listened to her voice when she speaks, it would be enough for me. I realize most people aren't attuned to some things about vocal speech. I'm playing with words there because it's kind of a joke. No, a lot of people are not tuned into that. And I'm very hype. I'm like hypersensitive to the way people speak, and some people anyway. I mean, sometimes I really, when I'm really paying attention, which is about 2% of the time, And along with what she's saying, now I'm no body language expert, but I have been listening to the Body Language Ghost, I think is what the channel is called on YouTube, I think is what it's called. I'll find out for sure, but I think that's what it's called. Actually, I haven't seen any videos from Body Language Ghost here for a long time. I wonder what's going on with that. Maybe there's something happening there. I don't know. Well, I'm going to look and see. Where's my... it's not around, I guess, anywhere. What's this? What's going on here? Something's bouncing on my screen. Like it wants to tell me something. I don't want to listen to that. So Kamala, the vice president, when she's speaking, and this I've noticed this before, but she hasn't had a lot of big speaking roles where she's said anything significant. She also did a few graduation things, and of course that's always what they do, because that's, you know, they feel like they're contributing to someone's life, I guess. It's a big deal. Now, here we go. I don't think my internet is even working this morning. Oh, there it goes. Now it's working finally. Yeah, Body Language Ghost. I think that's what it is. Body Language. I'm going to look, see if I can find it. Let's see if this pulls it up. And I've watched enough of it to know like what certain signs are and what, you know, things are when someone nods their head a certain way when they're speaking, or they have a certain eye movement when they're nodding their head as they're speaking, different things like that. I guess she did it. She had one 4 days ago, I guess, and 2 weeks ago. This was, she does a lot of stuff on Fauci. Melinda Gates. Yeah, about every week she does one, it looks like here. She just had one a few days ago. AMC CEO Ape Holder meeting. Interesting. So she analyzes all this stuff and she talks about different things. And I've been watching this stuff for a couple of years. So I there are some things that, you know, are obvious tells. Very, very pronounced. And I'm sure if she analyzed what she was doing, it would be even more. So I'm going to give you my analysis, my amateur analysis this morning on some of the speeches she made while she was down in South America and some of the things she was doing down there. It's disturbing. First of all, she was sitting at a table. Now, keep in mind, I'm not even sure she was anywhere down there. Let's back up here for a moment. When she arrived in South America, and I don't know what part of, I'm just saying South America in general, because I don't even know, was she in Guatemala? I don't know where she was. Wherever she was going down there to convince people, don't come. Of course, then she was winking, and there was a little sign in front of her that we couldn't see that said, just kidding, this is a stand-up comedy routine. First of all, who was she speaking to? In the first speech, let's back up again. I backed up and then I jumped forward. So I want to jump backwards and then leap forward again and spin around and jump down, turn around and put your right foot in and put your right foot out, put your right foot in and shake it all about. That's what I'm going to do right now. The thing that she was saying was, that she shows up, first of all, she gets off the plane, and there are groups, not just a few people there. There are some serious protesters there. Because they understand what she was doing there. She was going down there. And see, this is where it really gets frustrating for me. because I know what's going on. When they talk about we need to send aid down there because of the hurricanes and because of the disasters and all the things that happen, we need to send aid down there because what they're in a desperate situation because of their economies, and that's why they're coming to the United States. Things are so bad down there that they're willing to come to this awful racist country and come here illegally and live like hermits on the street because they're having such a hard time down there that they would even be willing to come to a racist, terrible country that has low, you know, that treats women terribly and minorities terribly, and we're all a bunch of racists here. But they're willing to come here to this terrible country that they hate so much because they're in such dire straits down there. So we need to, this terrible country needs to send them money, terrible money, I guess, made by terrible people, taken away from all of us terrible people that we worked hard for. Send it down there to keep them down there, to help their situation so they stay down there. We're going to pay them off so they stay down there. That's a great idea. First of all, those people will never see that money. That money's going into the pockets of the politicians down there. And there are NGOs, there are organizations down there. I guarantee you, certain individuals, I won't mention any names, but they rhyme with George Soros, who have organizations down there, non-government organizations, NGOs, that are closely tied to the administration, that, oh, look, they gave money to my campaign. Oh, look, it happens to be about 10% of what I was able to squeeze out of the American dollar to give to them. Huh, that's funny how that works out. It's always the same percentage amount. I don't know what it is. I'm sure it's a certain percentage. Oh, look at that. There's billions of dollars going into the Clinton Foundation. Oh, look at there. It never made it to Haiti, did it? Where did that money go? Huh. Well, she's going to be president, so, you know, we got to grease the wheels there. Donate to my foundation. You can't donate to my campaign, because that would look too obvious. This is the way they keep the wheels greased, and this is why they make themselves look larger than life. By the way, what happens here. You may not think so because of the way the media portrays everything and the way everything's happening around us and the way they make it look like the leftists and the wackos, the liberal lunatics, it makes it look like they're taking over and that they are the populace. Because that's the way they make it look. It is a production. There's a lot of little businesses out there, little, you know, one man, one or two people, five people, whatever they are, really tiny businesses that make themselves look huge, like this big corporation. When you look at their website, you think, wow, this company's huge. This company's got it going on. This is a big professional company. There's like two people working there. And the reason they can get away with that, the way they do that, is by just presenting, it's all marketing. It's all the ability to create the illusion. And that's exactly what is happening with the left. So Kamala goes down there and she gets all these protesters out there. And they're obviously not stupid. They're aware of what's, at least to some degree, of what's going on. Most of their signs said, we don't want your money. We want free trade. They want an opportunity to be productive on their own down there and have open free trade. In other words, they want a capitalist style economy. They don't want to be on the dole being, and this is where so much of the left has really bamboozled our nation. So many people in our nation. This is where identity politics really becomes dangerous. And I have heard it from the mouths of people in my own family. Well, you better not vote for him because he's going to take away your Social Security. He's going to take away your benefits. He's going to take away this or that. This government program, you're not going to have that government program anymore. He's going to take that away from you. In many cases, I would say, well, good. Now there are people, you know, that's not what he was going to do. It was not what he was running on. That's always the fear factor that they put in there. And then they claim that the Republicans are the ones that use fear. And they do. They do that to some degree. But not to the degree that leftists do. You guys are all about fear and fear-mongering. And like, oh, really? Let's talk about climate change. The world's going to end in 10 years? That's not a fear thing? Got to wear a mask or we're all going to die? That's not fear? When you want to talk about fear, climate change is the next new crisis, folks, by the way. And that is what... is taking over. That's the new COVID. As COVID dissipates, the climate crisis. And of course, Greta Thunberg has now come back on the scene, and she's talking. She's an advocate for fish. We won't get into that, but she's concerned about the fish and their feelings, and their thoughts and their feelings. So she's down there, and they're protesting her as she arrives. Now, I didn't see large numbers of people gathering to welcome her and laud her arrival. If there would have been, they would have had that all over the news. It was not all over the news. In fact, there were people holding signs that said, this is what really I just thought was the best thing in the world. I mean, it wasn't just a few. There was a large number of people there holding signs that said, Trump won. We don't want you here. We don't want your money. We want free trade. Now, see, they understand that that's what Trump was all about. Because he knew the mutual benefit that would cause between our country and their country. And it would lift everybody up. That's not what this administration is about. They can say one thing. They'll say one thing and they'll pretty something up into a speech, and that's not what they're doing at all. And that's, Republicans do the same thing. The establishment Republicans do the same thing. They'll fix something up to make it look right or make the words framed right, so that their constituents will be okay with it. You get somebody like a Mitt Romney who wants to be a centrist. Well, there's two articles of impeachment here. One of them I agree with, the other one I don't. So I'm going to be in the middle of this. See, I'm a centrist. See how centrist I am. See how I'm more where the American people are. I'm a representative of the American people. No, you're not. You've bought into this idea that the liberals are outnumber us. They don't. You bought into this idea that you need to. You can't have your own principles. You can't have just a platform on a plank, what they used to call the planks of your campaign. You would build. You would say, "This is what I'm about. These are my principles. My campaign is built on. This is what we're going to do as a nation. This is the vision we're going to have." And they would run on that. They wouldn't go to a focus group and see what's popular and then try to fit into that mold. And that's exactly what we have now. And I think that's why Trump was so appealing to so many people. He didn't listen to the polls. He was just trying to do what he thought was right for the nation. And whether you agree with it or not, I think that was the right approach to have. And we can have that discussion about whether or not it's right or not. I think he was willing to have that discussion. The problem was they all just accused him of being an evil, racist dictator. The party that's all about race and sees everybody by their color of their skin and their religion is now in charge. Or their gender, I guess, is another one. So she's down there. She's making this speech. And she she's reading from the speech. And she's trying to make it sound like she's saying it without reading it. I've done some coaching in the voiceover world. And that's probably the hardest thing for people to overcome and for me to coach them through is read a script and don't make it sound like you're reading it. Or try to make it sound like you're not reading it. Actually, you can't really try to make it sound that way. You just have to say it and not read it, even though you're reading it. It's probably the most difficult thing to train and to teach people in the world of voiceover. And it's difficult. I mean, you're going to make mistakes when you try to do that, but that's what editing is all about. Now, there are some people that are so good at it, and they do it so much and they do it all the time. They can read a script and they can sight read a script. You can put a script in front of them. They can sight read it and put all the emotion and everything into it. Typically, those people are pretty monolithic. I don't know. They have one tone, typically, that they can do that in. One of the problems I have is that I can hear that script about 20 different ways in my head as I'm reading it. And because of that, I kind of overload myself with all these different ideas as I'm reading it, and I tend to stop or trip up during the speech. During the reading of the script. So typically with my customers, what I'll do is I'll give them about 5 or 6 different takes with different tones because I hear all this different stuff in my head, how the way they might want to have certain things said. And so I have to give them several different takes because it's the range is ridiculous. Now, if they can give me really detailed understanding of how they want it, that helps a lot, but I still hear nuance in there. And that's where I have a tendency to trip up as I'm reading a script, especially if I'm doing it live. If they're listening in on my, they're giving me direction over the phone as I'm recording. So just a little bit of insight into my world there. So that's the difficult part of it. Now, it's nice if they're right there listening and giving me directions because we get it right the first time. In other words, I can read through it. I don't have to read, take several takes and send it to them. And they say, oh, we like take number 3. So I kind of try to narrow it down to that. I give them 3 takes of that take with some different nuance in it. And then they go back and forth, and there's, oh, you said this word wrong, or we have to make a change to the script, or we decided to go with somebody else because you're an idiot. Sometimes that happens. It just rolls off my back because I am an idiot. And I send him a bill. So the thing about Kamala Harris, Kamala, she's reading this thing, and they got this. There's a video of her. I mean, they have it recorded. You can watch her doing it. And she's doing that, and she's like nodding her head, and she's trying to be dramatic about it. And she's trying to, and she's looking up from the paper. She spends about 60 to 70% of her time looking at the paper that she's reading off of. The information that she's giving and the way she's saying it. Absolutely horrible communicator in that regard. Let alone the fact that she sucks through her nose all the time. She's constantly talking through her nose. She's constantly nodding her head and has this... There's two things about the look that she has on her face when she's speaking. One is she has this... she's trying to convince you. It's called Believe Me. She's trying to convince you of something. So she has this Believe Me look on her face. Like she's nodding. She wants you to nod with her. So she's trying to get you to come on board of what she's saying. And there's three things going on there. One is she doesn't believe what she's saying herself. So she's trying to convince herself. So she's also trying to convince you. She's also panicking because she's not sure what she's saying is even true. She has there's no conviction there. There's nothing in her that says, I'm speaking from the passion from my heart that I believe from the depth of my being that this is true. Now, at the same time that all that's going on, she has this look intermittently woven through everything she does as she's speaking. And this look terrifies me. Governor Whitmer, on the other hand, does not have that look. Governor Whitmer has a look of cold-blooded, my way or the highway, this is the way it's going to be. Governor Whitmer is a sociopath, in my unprofessional opinion. The the difference between that and what VP Harris is, she has a look of someone, please help me. She's terrified. She knows she's a fraud. She knows she's in a job position that she is terribly and woefully unqualified for. She has no idea what she's doing. She has a complete lack of confidence. Now, let me give you a few examples of the way she acts and see if you notice these things the next time you hear her speak or the next time you hear her do something. She is just very simply. When she speaks, she will often repeat herself. And she will she's speaking as if she's presenting something like a really bad actor would present. Or actress. The other thing that's, and to bolster all that up, and to bolster what I'm saying about that, in other words, just to kind of reiterate a foundational thought of this whole thing, she actually, everybody talks about her, the way she's laughing, she always laughs, cackles, so they can't stand her laugh, whatever. The reality of that laugh is, that is a nervous laugh. That's not a normal sense of humor, healthy laugh, belly laugh. This is a, I'm scared, I'm nervous, laughter. It's been very well known, very well documented that people in panicking situations, when they're terrified, there's such a thing as an inappropriate laughter that can happen at that moment. People who are faced with death sometimes will, if they're very nervous or very uncomfortable in a situation, they'll laugh. That is VP Harris to a T. She is the epitome of that. when she was asked if she was going to the border, she said, well, not today, not today. When she's asked, you know, why she responded the way she did when Colbert asked her about basically calling Joe Biden a racist in the debates. It was a debate. It was a debate. The next question he asked, it was a debate. he couldn't get an answer from her. That's all she said. And she just laughed and said it was a debate because it was supposed to be funny. Oh, it's a funny show. It's a funny show. It's going to be funny. That is her default. She goes to that. I'm just telling you, she's way out of her league. She's very incompetent. And she has no confidence in her own ability as well. She's scared. And she's afraid of being found out. That's the bottom line. People who are trying to fake it till they make it have a fear. There's usually an underlying fear there of being found out. Oh, you're not really who you portray yourself to be. That's typically what happens there. So, having said all of that, when she was speaking, and she said this, the main point I want to get to, what she said, was that she told people not to come. Not to come. As she's nodding and saying, she's really poorly presented this speech that she was giving about not coming to America. And even some people that I know, they're lean left more than to the right, thought it was a joke. Oh yeah, right. So like she really means that. Was she winking when she said it? Because they realize that this border situation, and that they're trying to blame on Trump. It's all Trump's fault for this border situation we have right now. And it hasn't let up. This is still going on, folks. Now I want to get to this. I have very little time left on the show, and I really wanted to get to this other thing. I want to talk a little bit about Matt Walsh and his troll of AOC. It's brilliant, absolutely brilliant. Guys, freaking genius. And now I want to get to the immigrant thing though. Before we do that, also I want to talk a little bit about the number of people who were shot last weekend in Chicago. And nobody seems to care about that. This immigration thing. Let's since this kind of ties in a little bit with what you know, Kamala was down there for, was to try to stave it off at the source. Well, South America is not the only place people are coming from, folks. People are coming across this border. They're finding them from Europe. They're finding them from Africa, Middle East, China. And there's been some interesting reports on how they're sending people over across the border to run to the border agents because it keeps the border agents busy. So now the drug cartels can get their stuff across because they're so busy dealing with the influx of people. They're using them as cover, in a sense, to get other people across the border. And of course, the ones that are being smuggled in without going to the border agents are the ones that are probably the most dangerous. And it's not about asylum. This isn't about asylum and people fleeing their country because of persecution. That's not what's going on here. This is economic. This is an economic migration. Go where the money is. Go where the free stuff is. That's what this is about. Now, as they get here, where are they going? This is the other scam that's happening. The dirty underbelly side of this thing that we're not being told about. That not in very many reports. There are a few reports that have come out, and they're usually squashed on the internet really quickly because they're supposedly fake news. Just like the whole Wuhan virus thing was, oh, it wasn't made in the lab. That's fake news. That's a conspiracy theory. We have to wash that from the internet. We have to call you. We have to kick you off of social media because you say that. Now they're all saying it. What else have they lied to us about? Like election fraud, maybe? That's one possibility. I'm just saying a possibility. There are a lot of things coming up, by the way, of the couple million ballots that they're going through in Arizona. There are some things popping up that are very troubling. And the more troubling things they find, the more the media, the news media, continues to, oh, this is a sham. This is a sham thing. This audit is a sham. It's a sham. Okay, yeah, whatever. Whatever. So, so these people are being placed throughout the country. Now, when you remember the migration that was happening because of ISIS and the whole thing about people, you know, leaving, going into Europe, and they're still trying to flee Syria and places, to different areas, different regions in the Middle East, and they're still trying to get into different areas. Refugees, they're calling them refugees. In some cases, they are, but in many cases, they're not. Basically, Europe is being invaded. Now, having said that, what we're finding is that they're distributing these people in groups. Not just anywhere, not just random groups. They are finding certain demographics, certain cities, certain places that they're planting these communities. They were doing this during that whole immigration, when we were taking in immigrants in this country from the refugees from the Middle East. They weren't just refugees. Let's call it what it is. These people weren't allowing the Christians, the Coptic Christians, and those people to come in. They were bringing in Muslims, Muslim communities. They are planting them in the middle of red states. And this has been going on for years, by the way. They scatter them out, plant them just enough. They know the numbers that are required to create a community. They'll plant them in a community that's just large enough for them to kind of hide, or in a community that they know will be friendly to them. And just enough of them that as they grow and flourish, they will begin to take over the demographic of that community. You don't believe me? Look at Ilhan Omar's district. And look what's happening to it. It's starting to look more and more like the country she came from. And I'm not saying the color of the people. I'm talking about its economics and its situation. Because we don't assimilate people into the community now. We just bring over, we just implant, transplant whatever the problems they had there. We transplant them to here. And some of this is some of it's deliberate. Much of it is, in fact. So they're planting these people and these communities, these cultures in different places in the country with the intention of changing the culture that was here before, because they believe this culture is evil. Has to be changed. We are inherently and implicitly racist and biased. So this narrative and this agenda continues. It just continues. So they're gathering these people and taking them in different places in the country. And all of a sudden, you realize, oh, there's a whole lot of people that are dressed a certain way here. And you don't notice it because they know the demographics, they know all the statistics, they know how to make this work. If it's too small of a community, it's difficult for them to get away with it without being noticed. If it's too large of a community, they're usually typically overwhelmed. So that there has to be just the right size community. So there can be in a certain number of years, they know that there'll be a turnaround. This is happening. I'm not being racist about this. They're the ones being racist about this. I'm saying there's no assimilation. There's no melting pot situation going on here. There's no, melting of the culture. It is almost like a fortified fortress or a compound kind of mentality. You don't even have to learn English. Many of them can live most of their lives out here in communities that are completely their own culture, their own, where they came from. And it's a sad state of affairs because there's so much more they could be experiencing if they would assimilate and become a part of what the culture is about instead of continuing to live in what created their culture to begin with. The reason that they left their country. And that's what the left hates about. If you bring this up, this is, oh, we live in a terrible racist community. We need to fix that. Then why are people coming here? We're the richest country in the nation. We're the richest nation in the world, and yet we don't take care of our people. Well, then why would people come here? Why aren't people leaving here in droves? Why is it that when the popular people, the actors and actresses, the Hollywood folks, the elitists, when they hear that something, well, if he gets elected, I'm going to move out of the country. I'm leaving the country. And they don't leave. Very few of them have left. Maybe 1% of the ones who said they were going to leave have left. I have to say, I really miss them. I don't even know who they are. I probably knew fewer than 1%. I don't know. I don't know. They go to another country and then they realize, oh, this sucks. Because now they are nobody. I'd like to see Ilhan Omar go back to Somalia and speak out the way she does. To speak out the way she does and speak. She's all mad all the time. She really is. She's a very bitter person. Hates this country. Absolutely hates this country. I wish she would go back to Somalia and straighten things out there because she's got it. She knows how to do it. She wouldn't live 5 minutes there. With speaking out the way she is here against her country. Yeah. So I digress. And my dog is now looking at me like there's something else to do. Probably go outside and do something in the yard, I would imagine. And it's probably not going to involve picking weeds or mowing the lawn. He's got probably something else in mind. So, actually, what he's going to do is probably going to help the yard grow. That's what I'm guessing. In little clumps all over the yard. He's got 7 acres out there to distribute his stuff. And he tends to pick the same areas all the time. But I digress. Later this afternoon, we'll do another show, and I'm going to talk more about the Matt Walsh AOC troll and what happened in Chicago over the weekend. And maybe some other things. Who knows what else is going to happen today? It's Wednesday, June 9th at 7:53 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. I'm Kevin. This is the News According to Me. And we need to continue to pray for our nation. God bless everybody. Have a great day. It's also Trash Day. Take care, everybody.